Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Line Upon Line study. This one is during the Feast of Tabernacles. Happy Feast of Tabernacles to all of you, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you're joining live, and thank you for watching if you're watching the archive. God willing, this week we're going to be studying the book of Micah. And part of the reason I chose it was it has seven chapters, and I thought if we do a chapter a day, we will cover the Feast of Tabernacles. But as I got into the book, it became very, very clear to me, this is definitely a Feast of Tabernacles message. Now, as I say that, when we start out in the book, it's pretty heavy. The first few chapters are pretty heavy, and I think that our joy in the Lord is based in reality. It's not a superficial, I just feel so good to be in the Lord. It's a very profound understanding of the Lord's will. And because of that, whatever happens around us, we have a sense of stability and a deep joy that cannot be taken away from us because it's not a superficial joy. So our joy in the Lord and our joy here at the Feast of Tabernacles, we will rejoice in the Word of God. And so we're going to be studying this book of Micah, which amazingly as well, it's like a mini Isaiah. Just as Isaiah is like a mini Bible, 66 chapters, there's 66 books, 39 chapters are really rooted in the Old Testament, or what we call the Old Testament, and then 27 books in what we call the New Testament. So the division in Isaiah's first and second Isaiah, similar to the Bible, but the whole Bible message is in Isaiah, from pre-Garden of Eden to post the return of Christ in the millennium. Micah is like a mini Isaiah. So it's going to be very timely for us to study Micah as we're going through the book of Isaiah. Now, what struck me in studying this book, more so than Isaiah, although the themes are the same, maybe because it is so compact, what struck me is that Micah is pre-exilic prophet. He's a prophet that's before the exile. And it struck me because it just became very clear, we are pre-exile. The exile is in front of us. And that's why I think Micah will speak to us very, very directly. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we can get into today's chapter. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, rejoicing before you on this first day, this holy day of the Feast of Tabernacles. We thank you so much, Father, for your plan from creation, your counsel, your will, your design. And thank you so much, Father, for grafting us in to your covenant, to be part of this covenant community. We pray, Father, that day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, we will come into a deeper, a fuller understanding of your mind, your will, your plan, and your counsel, so that we can be full supporters, Father, of your will. Thank you for this Feast of Tabernacles, wherever we're gathered, Father. This is a faithful remnant. We know that we're just a fraction of what we were in the glory days, and yet your glory is still available to us. So we pray, God, that you'll bless our observance of this feast, and we ask that you'll bless our studies this week as well, Lord. We praise you, Father. We praise and thank Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we are up to, or we're going to begin with Micah chapter 1. And here I'll just jump right in. In Micah chapter 1, we see the word of the Lord, Jehovah, that came to Micah the Moreshethite. So he's from Moresheth, so he's a Jew. In the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Now that timing of when he had his ministry should remind us of Isaiah, that this is the vision of chapter 1, verse 1 of Isaiah, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So we can see here how they coincide. Now Micah, the name means, who is like Yehovah, who is like Yah. So he's the covenant God. And as you read the whole book of Micah, despite the unfaithfulness of his covenant people, and despite the curses that must come upon his covenant people, who is like this covenant-keeping God? That's Micah. Now, if we just look at the timing of these men, let me just see here. Hopefully you can see this. You'll see Micah was a Jew, and he was a prophet to the Jews. Hosea and Amos, they are contemporaries. So Micah comes at the tail end of Jonah and Amos, and he's really contemporary with Hosea and Isaiah. Hosea and Amos, prophets in the north. Micah and Isaiah, prophets in the south. Now, Amos and Micah are similar in the sense that they're just common people. Amos was a farmer. Looks like Micah probably was a farmer as well. Whereas Isaiah was of noble birth, believed that his uncle was the king. And his father was the brother of the king of Judah. And we don't know much about Hosea. But there we see that these are the pre-exilic prophets. So hopefully that gives us a sense of timing. Now, as I mentioned, Isaiah, unlike Micah, they're both in the south. They're both Jewish prophets. But Isaiah is of noble birth, and we can know that from chapter 7, verse 3, which is in our archive, that the Lord said to Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz. Go into the king's palace and talk to him. You and Sher-Yashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway at the fullest field. So chapter 7 of Isaiah is a fascinating chapter. If you weren't with us in the study of that, that's in the archive. Please access it, and also the names of Isaiah's sons and what they mean. But the fact that the Lord could just say to Isaiah, get up and go into the king's palace and have a conversation with him, it leads us to understand that he was part of the noble family. Now, there's a pattern in Micah which is very similar to Isaiah. So there's a lot of similarities here. Isaiah, and we just studied chapter 28 maybe 2 weeks ago. Isaiah starts off condemning the tribes in the north. And as he does that, if you're in the south, you might think, well, we agree. Those people are really bad. They're really, really departed from the faith, but we're good. But he then turns and focuses on condemnation of Judah, which is really, he's a prophet to Judah, although he has a vision concerning what's going to happen in the north. So here in chapter 28 and verse 1, it began, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. Amen. And Ephraim is code for the northern tribes. So Ephraim doesn't just mean the one tribe of Ephraim, although it's a very large tribe. It means all of the northern tribes. So today, Ephraim means Israel. So the Israelite nations, and again, many of these prophecies are dual. There was a local application or a local fulfillment, an immediate fulfillment or a short-term fulfillment. But then there's the fulfillment of the very same prophecy just before Christ returns. And so here we see the drunkards of Israel. And if you look at the world today, at the Ephraimite nations, we are all drunk. We're insane. We've lost our mind. Woe to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. So whatever we know, whatever we understand of the glory of the Western world, it is over. It's over. It's an illusion now. The bottom has fallen out. In fact, I will say America is in free fall. It's like somebody kicked America out of the plane with no parachute, and she's just fallen. She hasn't hit the ground yet, but there's nothing to prevent that. And when America collapses, so does the rest of the Western world, the rest of the free world. So freedom is a thing of the past. Enjoy whatever freedom we have, because it's disappearing. And the glory of the West is disappearing, which was built upon the biblical principles, the biblical standards, and the biblical values. That's what built the West. But we've departed from it. So her glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are over scroll. The prophet goes on to say, because of that condemnation of the north, therefore, hear the word of Jehovah, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. So if you've seen God's condemnation of the northern tribes, therefore, here in the south, take heed, because this condemnation is coming to you. In fact, it will be more intense upon you. So Micah, here in verse 2 of chapter 1, he says, hear, all you people, hearken, O earth. And earth in the Hebrew is Eretz. It can mean the whole globe. It can mean the whole earth. But it can also mean the land. And here in Micah, this is how we should interpret it. Hear, all you people, you covenant people, you people in the north and the south, listen. Hearken, O promised land, the people in this land, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. So you covenant people, the reason he is witness against you and not the rest of the world is because you have a covenant with him and you have broken it. You have defiled the covenant. Therefore, let's open the covenant. Let's read the covenant and be humble. Allow the Lord to be a witness against you because of what's written in the covenant. Now, here we studied Psalms, and we'll return to Psalms, God willing, after we finish Isaiah. But we cover chapter 50, again, it's in the archive. But here in verse 7, he says, similar, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, even your God. So God's testimony is against his covenant people because of what's written in the covenant. And I should have verified. I'm assuming that I'm coming through clearly, but scripture is not clear on screen. Thank you for that. Let me see if I can just make it a little bit bigger. Thank you for that. And I'm assuming that the sound volume is good. So I'm just going to continue here. Thank you very much. Now, yeah, so in Psalm 50, we see that the controversy is between God and his people. So let's not look at the world right now. Let's keep this conflict confined between God and his covenant community. Back to Micah. And just to make this clear now, let's read this. He says, for behold, the Lord, Jehovah, comes forth out of his place. So something has provoked him to leave his place and come down, will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And again, this is Eretz. It doesn't mean that God is going all over the earth to tread upon the high places. It means he's focused on his relationship with his people. His people have provoked him to anger, and he's coming down to the land that he gave to them to crush the high places on this land. And when we say, oh, thanks very much, got good sound here from Royal Anne. Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you. Now, so the focus, let's keep the focus. It's on the covenant community. He's going to tread upon the high places of the earth. We'll get a bit of clarity what this means, the high places. But suffice it to say right now, these are the places of idolatry. That these covenant people have turned their back on God. They've given themselves over to idolatry. And God is going to crush these centers of idolatrous worship. Verse 4. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft, as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. And again, these mountains and these valleys are focused on the promised land, not the whole earth, the land that was given to the covenant people. And all of this is the fulfillment of Torah. Moses is the original prophet, and he lays down the prophecy, and all of the other prophets after him amplify, put in high definition what Moses laid down. So we can go back to Torah in Deuteronomy 32 to see these mountains and valleys in view. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 19. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. Abhorred who? The whole world? No. The covenant people of Israel. When he saw their transgression, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. And I say, you know, today we're in free fall. America, pulling the rest of the Western world with it, is in free fall. And God is not helping us. God is, okay, they've chosen this. We have brought this upon ourselves. We get the leadership we deserve. And just here in Canada, we've just had an election. And so now we have the socialist government back again with Justin Trudeau. We get the leadership we deserve. South of the border in America, they had to get rid of Donald Trump at all costs. Cannot have a patriot, somebody who actually loves America, was doing everything he could to make America win. Oh, no, 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 cannot have that. He's such an authoritarian. And so we get the leadership we deserve. They have now a man in power that is selling America out as fast as possible, who is clearly beholden to the Chinese Communist Party, who's given America away, the $85 billion gift of the most sophisticated military equipment and assets to the Taliban and establishing the Taliban as a legitimate government. There's no decision, the open border, there's no decision that, and I won't even say this man, it's the administration. The man is clearly not cognitively capable of this, but he is a corrupt politician and has been for 47, 48 years. But I wouldn't say the man, the administration and the powers that be behind him that are pulling his strings, they hate you if you're American. They hate America. Nothing personal. They hate the ideology of freedom. And they're out to destroy it and sell out America. So America's in free fall. And God is, I'm going to hide my face. Let's see. They do not want me. So let's see what their end shall be. And that goes for America, goes for Canada, goes for the free world. The nations, the descendants of Ephraim. For they are a very corrupt generation. Children in whom is no faith. And if you look at this global pandemic, if you study how the Gentile nations are responding to this pandemic, compared to the Ephraimite and Judah, nation of Judah, there's no faith. The people should be looking to these people who know the God of the Bible and saying, let's do what they're doing. Instead, you have a nation like India that is not running headlong into these pharmaceutical companies to say, hey, save us. Instead, they're saying, no, we care about our people, and we will prescribe for them ivermectin, and we'll make sure that they're treated well, compared to Israel, the nation of Judah today, that says we believe in Pfizer. Our faith is in Pfizer, and we're going to inoculate the whole nation to the extent that we can. They have some Orthodox Jews that are not playing along, but the rest, everybody, the most vaccinated nation, not one dose, not two doses, but three doses, and it's not working. It looked like it was working for a little while. Now Israel, the most vaccinated nation on the planet, also has the most cases of COVID on the planet. So now they're talking about injecting a fourth dose into their nation. So we look to a nation like India that has basically zero cases of COVID now, because they said, we don't want Pfizer or Moderna or J&J. We've got ivermectin. It's like $7 for a whole treatment plan. We're going to give that to our people. And now they have zero cases of COVID compared to Israel, which has the most cases, the most deaths, the most hospitalizations. And they're in three injections deep talking about a fourth dose. These are children in whom is no faith. You don't hear the mention of God. You don't hear them. There's no prayer. There's no call for fasting. Nothing like that. Just, oh, Pfizer, come and save us. God says, I'm going to see what their end shall be. Verse 21 of Deuteronomy, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They're turning to these idols as their saviors, and they're my people. They're being adulterous. They're being unfaithful to me. I'm their God. And they've moved me to jealous anger with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. So these are my covenant people. They're provoking me to anger. They're provoking me to jealousy. Okay, I'm going to leave them alone. Let's see what their end shall be. And I'm going to provoke them to jealousy with a people that are not a people. They're not part of the covenant. But I'm going to work with them, and they're going to be my tools, because they don't want me to work with, the covenant people don't want me to work with them. I'll provoke the covenant community to anger with a foolish nation. And so here we go. 85 billion, not million, $85 billion gift. The Taliban, these primitive 7th century warriors, now have the most sophisticated military equipment on the planet. It's like a gift. Well, God has raised that. That's not Joe Biden, President Biden doing this. It's not even his evil administration. It is God orchestrating this, planting the seeds to see what their end shall be when they don't want to call on God. And not just the end of America, but the end of Judah, the end of the nation. They're in the Middle East. Now their enemies are so sophisticated. And they have one desire, well, maybe two. One is to crush America, the great Satan. The other is to completely eliminate Judah. For a fire is kindled in my anger. It's being kindled. And shall burn unto the lowest of hell. The lowest hell. So when we think of images of the Twin Towers and the hole that burned into the ground, God is saying that was just the opening act. That more to come, more to come. And this fire is going to be so intense, it will burn to the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. And again, the earth Eretz, meaning the land, the covenant land that God has given to his people, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. God said, I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. So as we're watching the news and we're seeing these developments, they're not just random. If we understand Torah, if we understand the will of God, if we understand the relationship of the covenant and the blessings and cursings of the covenant, we can now understand why the world is turning the way it's turning. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. So God is not taking his arrows and throwing them at Gentiles. He's saying, this quiver of arrows, every single one of them is going to be shot at the covenant people because they provoked me to anger. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft. So this is going back now, sorry, to Micah. So that's coming from Deuteronomy, back to Micah 1:4. The mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft, as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. So we understand now that this is exclusively speaking of the covenant people of Israel. And even Micah even explains that in the next verse. Why is all this happening, Micah? For the transgression of Jacob is all of this. This is why. It's not to do with the whole earth. It's to do with the transgression of Jacob. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? It almost sounds like Malachi. How have we been unfaithful to you? What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? So we've got the kingdom in the north and the headquarters or the principal city of the northern tribes is Samaria. And the principal city of the southern tribes is Jerusalem. So we know anciently, so this is just before the Assyrians come in and destroy Israel, the north, take them captive, spread them out. So there's no more Israel, the northern tribes in the Middle East. They've been spread all over. Jerusalem, we know Jerusalem. And miraculously in 1948, all the Jews were put back there. So the nation of Judah, they gave themselves the name Israel. But biblically, they are the nation of Judah, and they really represent the southern tribes. The nations of the north, in terms of prophetic fulfillment, as I mentioned, these prophecies have a dual nature. There's an immediate application, but there's also an application just before, an ultimate application just before the return of Christ. In terms of these northern tribes, then, what would we say of Samaria? Well, the most powerful Christian nation. Well, Christian, I think the 44th president made it really abundantly clear when he said very clearly to the whole nation, we are no longer a Christian nation, and did everything he could to stamp out Christianity out of the nation's fabric. And this current administration, 46 now, continuing that process. But America truly was built upon the ethic of the value of the individual created in God's image. That was the covenant understanding of the human being. That's how America was built. And the other nations enjoying this sort of a Western hegemony also were built upon this understanding of the biblical Judeo-Christian ethic. So if today we would say, well, what is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Washington? We would go to the headquarters of America, which is really the head of the free world, and say, what is the transgression of Jacob? Isn't it Washington? So goes Washington, so goes the nation, so goes America, so goes the free world. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Washington? And you look at the corruption and the idolatry and the evil, the policies that are coming out of Washington. This is the transgression of Jacob. And then the whole world is just, the Western world is just following along. And what are the high places, the places of idolatry of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Why don't we just go right now to Jerusalem? The city that God has chosen. That we're celebrating this Feast of Tabernacles, the arrival of our Lord and his rule from Jerusalem. Let's go there now and see what's taking place. And we'll see lots of idolatry. So we've got Washington and Jerusalem that are in the crosshairs of God. Now, these high places of Samaria and Judah, this is a historical fact here in 2 Kings 17 and verse 9. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities. They did this. They built these idolatrous altars for sex worship. The covenant people did this to worship Baal and Jehovah together. They're not abandoning Jehovah altogether. They're syncretizing. And that's why we have to be so careful in the church. Are we syncretizing? Or are we keeping our worship of God pure? He says they built them high places in all their cities. This was like just common practice. Everybody agrees. We have to have these altars to idols. From the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And as we read that between the lines, we should be seeing temple prostitution. We should be seeing all sorts of sexual deviancy in the worship of Baal while they worship Jehovah. That's what they did. That's their culture. Back to Micah verse 6. Therefore, I will make Samaria as a heap of the field. And again, today, in terms of a modern application, we could say Washington. And we can see open border, that the country doesn't exist anymore. Countries have borders. This country has no border. It doesn't exist anymore. It's part of the global, well, the president campaigned, build back better, which is not an American slogan. That's from the World Economic Forum. That's globalism. So he made it clear, I'm a globalist. And we just said, we don't care. We just have to get rid of Donald Trump. We hate him. He's the devil. We've never seen such an evil man. He's the worst thing that ever happened. Get rid of him. And we will welcome in a communist asset. And we don't care. As long as we can get rid of the patriotism. Because patriotism is evil. America is evil. We just want to get rid of America. Okay. Let's see how it will turn out. So I will make Washington as a heap of the field. So the Taliban have $85 billion in assets. Now they can rally the Islamic world and organize. The border is wide open. The economy is collapsing. Every decision is to destroy America. And it's happening. It's all in motion. America's in free fall. And as America goes, so goes the Western world. How can Canada, can we protect ourselves? Canada has enjoyed relative peace because of our neighbor, to the south. So we are pre-exile. China is very ambitious. I should say the Chinese Communist Party has global ambitions, as communists always do and always have, and they've been very patient. The Islamists have global ambitions. It's only the Western world that has lost any sense of pride and expansion and abandoned all values. Therefore, I will make Samaria as a heap of the field and as plantings of a vineyard. In other words, before you see any sort of harvest, this would be just in the preparation stage when you really see nothing. Well, you're going to see nothing. It's going to be completely wiped out. There'll be no fruit. It'll be like we haven't even started yet. And I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover or uncover the foundations thereof. So everything's going to be exposed, and there'll be no defense. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces. This is the Deuteronomic wrath. This is the Deuteronomic curse that we have brought upon ourselves. And this is what's happening. All the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces. And so we think we're so clever, we're so smart, we're these wonderful atheists, and we can just slaughter the unborn and do whatever we want, and we're so great. Okay, take your idolatry and be subject to the covenant curses. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with the fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. And this is tomorrow's news today, right? This is advance notice. So as these things begin to happen, as people begin to lose their minds because they were not expecting this, evolution told them that man is only getting better and better and better and stronger and more sophisticated, and then we go straight back into the dark ages. As they are caught off guard and plunged into depression, because we are realists, we deal with reality. When these things start happening all around us, we do not lose our cool. We remain calm, cool, and collected, which is another way of saying we remain faithful. We remain joyful because we understand this is not the end of the story. And that's something that Mike is going to make clear. This is part of the story. This is an essential part of the story. But as with Moses, so with Micah. This is just a part of the story. This is a stepping stone to the ultimate fulfillment of God's faithfulness to his covenant. But we're not going to be surprised when we see this. Our cities burned with fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. That's what's happening. We've turned away from God. Our cities are burning with fire. Crime is out of control. Lawlessness abounds. And we've brought this upon ourselves because we want nothing to do with God. For she gathered it of the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot. Let me see if I can explain this. All of this activity, the wealth, the aggrandizement, the glory that Israel or Ephraim has gathered, she turned away from God and gathered this with her idolatry and the sexual practices, the temple prostitution that goes with this idolatry that they had to have in every city, and they had to build these altars in every high place. That's how she acquired all of this. And God says, okay, if you're going to turn to idolatry, then all of this legitimately belongs to the idolatrous. So I'm going to take it from you and give it back to the original worshippers of Baal. So we should expect then that if we see the Taliban and ISIS and the like who are worshiping Baal, if we see all of our wealth given to them, well, it's their God. We've chosen to worship this God. And God is saying, okay, if this God is the God you worship, shouldn't all of the wealth then be returned to the worshipers of this God? That's really the sense that Micah is giving us here. Therefore, Micah says, I will wail and howl. When Micah fully grasps what is going to come upon his people, he is beside himself with grief. He is overwhelmed with grief. And again, so should we be. So there's a layer of grief, But underneath that grief, there's faithfulness. And there's joy in the Lord, even below the grief. But here, as it hits Micah, what is going to take place? He says, therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls. And Isaiah had a very, very similar reaction. In chapter 21, you'll remember verse 3, therefore are my loins filled with pain when he grasped what was coming upon his people. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me as the pangs of a woman that travails. So as a woman is in birth, laboring to give birth, that kind of labor pain is what has suddenly come upon him. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. So he received this vision. It blew him away. And he also says in chapter 22 and verse 4, therefore said I, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. And I should mention, when Micah was prophesying, he began his ministry at the height of Israel's power. Or Israel's glory. The king, I think it was King Omri, I'm not sure, don't quote me on the king, but they had escaped an earlier attempt from Assyria. The economy was very strong. So it would be like Micah prophesying during the Trump administration, when Trump had delivered the strongest economy the world had ever seen. America was back. Big manufacturers were moving back. And it's like in the midst of all of that, and President Trump, big ego that he has, sort of beating himself on the chest and celebrating these successes, it would be like Micah standing up to him and saying, you're cursed. Your nation is cursed. Why? Because you've turned away from God. So you can do what you're doing while you're still worshiping idols. So all of this wealth that you are generating, it's going to go to the original idol worshippers. It would be like that. So then that administration is gone. The new administration comes in, and we begin to see the fulfilling now of Micah's prophecies during a time of incredible economic expansion. So Micah is prophesying during incredible economic expansion. And like Isaiah, as he sees what's coming, he is just overtaken with grief. Isaiah says, look away from me, I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. And again, this reaction is during a time of prosperity. Everyone is rejoicing. And Micah is saying, that's yesterday's news. What is coming is so severe. And we in the West, it's very hard for us to imagine living like a third world country. But that's where we're heading. That's where we're heading, and worse, because we've turned our back on the God of the Bible. Micah says, for her wound is incurable. There's nothing that can help her now. She's in free fall. For it is come unto Judah. So he started off speaking about Samaria. Now he's saying this has come to Judah. He has come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. So Micah's a Jew. He was prophesying about Samaria. But now he's saying it's even come to the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. And he says the wound is incurable. Isaiah said in the opening part of his scroll, why should you be stricken anymore? Why are you doing this? Why do you have to suffer like this? Why can't the suffering be over? Yet you will revolt more and more. You're just a rebellious people. He says the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. And that head is the leadership. So Micah points to Samaria and to Jerusalem. So Samaria, so goes Samaria, so goes the northern tribes. So goes Jerusalem, so goes the southern tribes. And so today we could say, as goes Washington, so goes America, so goes the free world. As goes Jerusalem, so goes the whole tribe of Judah. He says, back to Micah, verse 10, all of this calamity, declare ye it not at Gath. Weep you not at all. In the house of Aphra, roll thyself in the dust. And it's funny that Aphra means dust. In the house of dust, Beit Afra, roll yourself in the dust, which is an act of great mourning. So again, if you think of the likes of 9/11, which is the most extreme we've experienced in the West, but that's just an opening act. It's that kind of complete depression and complete sense of loss that one would just, in the Middle East, they just roll themselves in the dust when there's that complete sense of loss. But he says here, don't declare it at Gath. And this is sort of a proverb, really going back to David, where he said here in 2 Samuel 1, verse 20, tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Why? Lest the daughters of the Philistines, or the Palestinians today, lest they rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. So, in other words, death to America. And eliminate the Jews from the river to the sea. Palestine must be free, meaning we have to eliminate all the Jews. That's the Palestinian agenda. That's the Islamic agenda. And then it would be like us understanding the scriptures saying America will die. The whole Western world is going to be destroyed. And Judah will be destroyed in epic proportions, in unprecedented ways, that the likes of which has never been seen. And once we grasp this, can we just keep it between us? Don't tell the Mohammedans. Because if the Mohammedans hear what is determined against Judah and what is determined against America, they're going to throw a party and they're going to rejoice over this intense, calamitous, unprecedented tribulation and suffering. So let's just keep it between us and try to do this in a way that they don't hear about this. That's really the sense here that Mike is giving. Pass you away, you inhabitant of Saphir, having your shame naked. So this is one of the villages there that was a very glorious village. Again, this is a time of great prosperity, but you're going to be naked. The inhabitant of Zanan came not forth in the morning of Bethazel. So it's like a neighboring village won't even come forth to support the village that's beginning to suffer this level of shame. He shall receive of you his standing, or better worded would be, he will take away from you his support. You're on your own. For the inhabitant of Merath waited carefully for good. So we know that, in fact, Micah was a Merathite. So they're waiting for good. These are Jews. So they're waiting for good. But evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. And you know, when Jeremiah was prophesying, and they would say, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these, and they almost felt a sense of immunity from trouble because of the temple of the Lord. And now Mike is making it clear, that's not going to save you. In fact, Jerusalem is in the crosshairs of God's anger and his wrath. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beast. So another village, I remember these people have gone in, they've taken over these villages, and he's saying, get out of here as fast as you can. Find your fastest horses and hitch them up and run for your life. It's almost like Matthew 24, you know, that Christ says that whoever's in Judah at this time, do not look back, just run for your life. This is the time of trouble. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion. So there's something that happened in this Lachish. And instead of wiping out these inhabitants as they go in to take over, they end up mixing with them. And this whole Baal worship begins to come into the tribes of Israel and the tribe of Judah in particular. So this town was the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion. For the transgressions of Israel were found in you. Therefore shall you give presents to Moresheth Gath. So there's some neighboring Gentile village, and you're going to give gifts to her. And this Moresheth in the Hebrew actually means betrothed. So when a man's daughter is betrothed, he will give gifts to the daughter for a happy marriage. But here, the marriage is actually to Gath. And so you're going to give presents. You're going to, instead of being married to God, go ahead now and be married to Gath. Be married to the Philistines. And give gifts in the process. The houses of Akzib, and in the Hebrew, Akzib means deceitful. So this is a town, and Mike is just kind of calling out, I think, a little twist on the Hebrew just to get the name of deception. The houses of Akzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. And it's like today you hear the White House saying, we're cooperating and collaborating with the Taliban to get the Americans out. And, oh, we've given them a list of all of the Americans that are there trying to escape and how to identify them, because we really trust the Taliban. It's this sort of foolishness that they'll do anything but rely on God. The houses of Akzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. Yet, so in all of this now, in all of this trouble, he says, yet will I bring an heir unto you, O inhabitant of Maresha. He shall come unto Adullam, the glory of Israel. So this is again another town that he's going to come here, the glory of Israel. And then the last verse of chapter 1, he says, make you bald. So a little hint of good news in verse 15, but then that's it, just a hint. And then he says, make you bald and poll you for your delicate children. So the poll is really like how you would share a sheep for all of its hair. Israel's going to lose her children. And these communists, as they implement these different vaccine passports, if we're advocating for that, that's just setting up the infrastructure for the mark of the beast. The vaccines clearly do not work. We just have to look at Israel as a test bed. Israel's really the most data of these vaccines, and the efficacy of the vaccines is in Israel. And these people keep data like they're very, very good. And so we can clearly see the vaccines don't work. And yet all over the Western world, they're being enforced, and the whole concept of a passport is being enforced, even though these vaccines are actually damaging people. It doesn't matter. People like top people in the FDA are resigning because they're saying, we don't want to be a part of this. The data is clear, but they're pushing ahead and wanting to do this with children as well. So all we're doing is we're actually enabling we're helping to pave the way and to put in the infrastructure for what ultimately will, I believe, become the infrastructure that's needed for the mark of the beast. Certainly it's the infrastructure that's needed for a global digital economy. But we need a reason to put this in place. And so make everybody fearful and get everybody to support. It's, you know, God's people. We're not the wisest bunch. We don't connect dots very quickly. And so, you know, we support political correctness, which then enables socialism to come in. And we can't criticize it because that's politically incorrect. And then we get behind these socialist movements thinking that they care about us when they absolutely care nothing about us. They want to destroy us. But through their rhetoric, and nobody can challenge the rhetoric because that would be politically incorrect. So then we end up supporting these socialist movements. These socialist movements allow us to create a government that's more and more powerful. The government becomes increasingly powerful and increasingly oppressive. But that's because of us, because we were supporting these socialist movements with their rhetoric. So now we have more powerful government. And as a result of that, with this pandemic of a virus that originally was 99.6% survivable. So if you got the original strain of this virus, 99.6% or more would survive it. You know, unless you had comorbidities, in which case we could have quarantined those people who have comorbidities. But if people just went about their life, this virus would run its course. As the bird flu, MERS, was it SARS, all these different viruses, they run their course and then they peter out. That's what would have happened. As a result of this powerful, these powerful governments that we've enabled, they just keep this thing going. And with their whole vaccination rollout, they're the ones who are actually training the virus to become more and more powerful with these different variants. But we've enabled that. And now because of our fearfulness, we want vaccine passports everywhere. And suddenly we find ourselves in a world where the entire economy is now digital because we helped put that infrastructure in place. We supported it. We wanted it. We demanded it. And now it's here. And now, from there to a point where no man can buy or sell unless he received the mark of the beast, that's the easiest step of all. That would have been the hardest step, but because we go there gradually and incrementally, that's like a piece of cake now. Now, no one can buy or sell unless they receive the mark of the beast. Right now, we're getting to the point where no one can buy or sell unless they're fully vaccinated, which originally meant one dose, then it meant two doses, then it meant three doses. Now, if you're in Israel, it means four doses. Soon it's just going to mean you sign up to the subscription program, and the minute you drop out, you're no longer fully vaccinated. So although you helped enable this thing, you're now out in the cold. Make you bald and pull thee for your delicate children. So that's the other part of this. As we get behind this vaccine passport, as we get behind this whole vaccination program, now, because we've helped develop a virus that is becoming more and more virulent, now they have to come into our homes. And the UN has made this clear. They will have to remove children from their homes in order to protect the children. So we're the ones who want it. Hey, we socialism, we all these social movements. America is horrible. Freedom is terrible. We must have socialism. Well, with that, you get powerful government. And with powerful government, you get the ability of government officials to come into your home and remove your children. And that's where we're heading, unfortunately. Unfortunately. And God's saying, hey, I'm just going to watch and see what their end is going to be. Make you bald and pull you for your delicate children. Enlarge your baldness as the eagle, for they are gone into captivity from you. And that is tomorrow's headlines. That's what we're going to be seeing. We are pre-exile, but it's coming. And our enemies hate us. And they absolutely have control. I would say the Chinese Communist Party has clear control over both Canadian and American governments. Australia, New Zealand, UK. God says the root of this evil is the love of money. You get behind it, follow the money. And you see people have sold us out. Top elite politicians have sold us out for money. So this is, again, chapter 2 is going to be pretty heavy as well. But eventually we're going to come to chapter 4. And I'll end here, which is a very familiar passage. Isaiah quotes this. We're not sure if Isaiah is quoting Micah or Micah is quoting Isaiah, or they both just received this inspiration independently. But we see this prophecy in both. And this is why Micah is totally a Feast of Tabernacles message. He says here in Micah, we'll just jump ahead to chapter 4, because although Micah's starting out pretty heavy, Micah means, who is like God? Who is like this covenant God who is totally faithful to his covenant? So all of this bad news we're reading, it's covenant bad news. It's not random bad news. It's covenant bad news. And it's all leading ultimately to what we're celebrating this week. Here in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1, but in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord, so after he levels all these other mountains in the promised land, in the end days, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. It'll be the highest mountain. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples, all these Gentile peoples all over the world, shall flow unto it. And when they get there, there's going to be a people established in covenant with him that are going to facilitate the worship of the true God. This is the wonderful prophecy of the book of Micah. We will go through it, God willing, day by day. And because it's a short book, it's a mini Isaiah, which is a mini Bible, we're going to get the whole biblical message, God willing, in the next 6 days as we add the next 6 chapters to this one. Thanks so much for joining. God bless you, brethren. Have a wonderful first day, and may God accept your offering. God bless.